According to national health studies, if you don't have good airflow or clean air throughout the classrooms of schools, it's going to heavily impact the student and how they perform. So, for example, the higher levels of carbon dioxide can cause children to easily lose focus. Excessive CO2 in the air is known to cause headaches, drowsiness, even confusion. Other environmental factors that can make it more difficult to focus include abnormal temperature. So if you don't have air conditioning or heat in the building, and particular matter levels, it could impact their initiative, making it difficult not only for them to think strategically, but also to want to work, to actually be motivated to work. And we especially see this in younger students, but all the way through, I think, to high school level, which is why there are many advocates saying we need to pass legislation to improve our air quality in schools. It cannot be negotiated any further. And joining us now to talk more about this is Jocelyn DeLancey, who is the vice president of the CEA, the largest teachers union in Connecticut. Jocelyn, welcome back to the show. And tell us about the focus on this. What I think is ironic is during the pandemic, it seemed like the governor was really gung-ho about this. We recognized, obviously, the importance of HVAC, for example, and investing in this just from a health standpoint, you know, kids not getting COVID, getting sick and all that. But even when you just look at the performance of a student, this needs to be a focus, you know, regardless of actually if you're spreading germs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think what we saw during COVID is that this was a problem that was exacerbated or highlighted because of the issues that we had trying to make sure we were getting in back into buildings with healthy air. But this is something that we've been discussing for over two decades. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at a press conference last week with an educator who had to go on a permanent disability leave because of the impacts that the poor air quality in her building had on her health condition, and is still impacted today, 20 years later. So when we're talking about indoor air quality, it's hard to address sometimes because it's something you can't see. It's an invisible problem, so to speak. And so we've been screaming, I think, at the top of our lungs for a long time. We've seen progress, but it is clearly, you know, when we're talking about student success, student outcomes, teacher recruitment and retention, this is a problem that's underlying in a lot of our buildings.
So, Jocelyn, I agree. I actually, as a parent here in Milford, and the superintendent knows this because we've gone back and forth about it on my show and off the air, it infuriates me because I have a child who's in the elementary school, the public schools, and he will come home. First of all, there are days he will come home drenched in sweat. And I think to myself, this is so inexcusable. Why is my kid literally drowning in his sweat? And he'll even say to me, he will verbally tell me, "Mom, it was really hard for me to concentrate. I think I upset my teacher because," and of course, his teacher's lovely. She's never upset with him. But he will say, "I couldn't focus, Mom. I can't tell you what I did today because it was so hot or it was too cold." I mean, it's ridiculous. And what infuriates me, which is why I would love to talk about this bill that it sounds like you want to pass, is that I don't know if the district realizes how important it is. And I say that because I look at a comparative district like Stamford, Connecticut, which is about to wrap up their air conditioning unit project that they essentially started, I want to say a year or two ago, where they invested in at least the air conditioning units to go in windows of every classroom. And I thought, why couldn't we invest in that? And I don't know if there's enough of an urgency or understanding the impact of air quality in these classrooms.
Yeah, I think that you've pretty much nailed, hit the nail on the head, is that there are people who don't necessarily really understand. Some of the people making decisions about how we prioritize what we spend in our schools are not actually in the building, right? They're not living there day to day. And I can tell you that having to give a standardized test, in early May, when sometimes all of a sudden it gets really hot unexpectedly, and you've got a classroom that's 87 to 93 degrees or something, you know, your kids are sitting there trying to take a test and none of them can concentrate. And then you wonder why these kids, you know, didn't perform to the level that you'd think that they might have. I think that when you look at even just the window units, they're expensive. It's an expensive project to truly invest in and take care of indoor air quality, because you're talking about filtration, you're talking about temperature, you're talking about so many, you know, filter replacements. But I think if you invest in it and then you maintain it, which I think is one of the issues that we have, our legislature has done a good job listening to us. They've kind of stopped short of temperature standards. I think they're worried about having to close too many schools too often because of high temperatures, which I understand and kind of we could problem solve through that. But, you know, they've put a lot of things through. Not all of our school districts have taken advantage of the grants that we've had available, and many of them have not kept up with the year inspection and the five-year inspection guidelines that we're supposed to be having.
Jocelyn Delancey is here, CEA Vice President, and we're talking about House Bill 6922, which would essentially move school HVAC grant programs into school construction projects grant programs. And while that may seem like who cares, actually this could be a really big deal, Jocelyn. Could you explain why there's such a push for this?
Yeah, sure. You know, we've had grants available and we've had funding available. It has not been accessed at the speed or rate that we would have liked to see, given the amount of commitment that I think our state has kind of put to ensuring that we're trying to solve this problem. And so what this would do is it allows for districts to access these funds easier and to kind of embed them within the kind of construction planning that they're doing to improve their facilities.
Is the grant significant enough? Do you think that's a reason why people haven't accessed it? Because, I mean, HVAC is insanely expensive.
It is. And there are, you know, I think cost limitations, but it was enough money. More districts should have taken advantage of it. It would have allowed for districts to do some critical work, especially in some of their more, you know, fractured buildings.
So when did this grant opportunity specifically for HVAC, when did that become available, Jocelyn?
Oh, I'm going to have to, someone's going to have to double check me because I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it was in 22. Or
okay.
23.
Okay.
So it's been in existence for a couple of years. And I think, again, it speaks to the problem that people have not taken indoor air quality as seriously as they probably should, or recognize the impact as deeply as they should understand for schools. I think some people still think that this is a luxury issue or a comfort issue, and that's absolutely not the case. This is a healthy schools issue, and our kids need to be in spaces where they can learn and thrive and not with things that they can't see kind of attacking their ability to be successful and healthy.
And again, we're talking to Jocelyn Delancey, CEA Vice President, and a House Bill 6922 would move the HVAC grant program into the school construction projects grant program. Do you feel like it's a matter of, Jocelyn, that people don't realize there is something specifically they could apply for when it comes to HVAC projects? Or is it that it's a really lengthy process? I've heard of before, if people want to get a grant from the state, that it's no easy task. It's a very lengthy process. Is that the case in this regard?
I don't know specifically how the grant would change in terms of moving it from construction to out of just HVAC to construction. But what I do know is that oftentimes some of our less resourced districts don't have the staff that they would need to be able to commit to doing the grant application work. You know, grant applications are complicated, I think, all across the board, no matter where you are. So I think that having grant writers and having CFOs who have staff that are able to do that stuff well, it really depends on the district. And unfortunately, what we saw the first time around for these grants is that well-resourced districts were getting more money because they had the resources to ask for the money, as opposed to some of our lower-resourced districts that really didn't have the tools to be prepared to ask for it. And I know that they fixed that process, but
okay.
That was part of it.
Okay.
And I think this movement is another way to make that process even easier.
And I don't have it in front of me, Jocelyn, but I'm wondering if Stanford was one of those that jumped on this. Because, again, I think they're their solution, because it's compromised, right? I mean, I hear about HVAC systems and how it could be easily in the millions and millions of dollars, you know, that range. But I think the compromise that Stanford took, I just think is a great solution. I'm wondering if they got it out of this grant. Because I do remember them vaguely getting, I believe they did get grant approval, and they're, like I said, they're just wrapping up this air conditioning unit window thing that I thought was like brilliant. I thought it was a good compromise. It's now in all of their schools, is my understanding.
Yeah, it is a good compromise. It's not a final solution, so mm-hmm. to speak, because there are still going to be issues. And I think but when you're in, you know, some of our Connecticut school buildings, we have many of them that are over probably 100 years old, right?
Right.
Maybe some averaging in 70 years old. So whatever you can do to fix the problem, air conditioning units are great for temperature control in the hotter days, but they don't necessarily do the work that we need to do for the air filter, the air filtration and those types of issues. I know we had the Corsi boxes that we got funding for last year out of UConn Health, these mini very affordable air filter kits that go with a STEM project for students who can build their kits. And
yes, I heard about this.
They were a great project. I mean, I went into Danbury schools and did the project with some sixth graders, and I did it in Bridgeport as well. But those, you know, that's, again, a short-term solution for a big, big problem. So I think this legislation is just yet another step forward in making sure districts like your the ones that your children go to kind of maybe take another look and go, oh, we can do this. This is a manageable thing that we can, even if we can't do it for every building all at once, we can look at our most fractured buildings and take some steps to make those improvements.
Well, and Jocelyn, to your point, even just putting it into the school construction grants program umbrella, if you will, maybe people don't think of it as school construction because they physically think, oh, we're adding, you know, a new unit or we're fixing a new room. But their HVAC is like its own thing when really it's not. It very much is a part of facility construction, honestly. I mean, you're talking about something that's not seen, but is very much important and is in every single school building. But as far as it being aging, that's pretty common, unfortunately, in the average Connecticut public school. Hopefully, does it seem like this legislation is going to move forward for a vote? Did it get voted? Like, did it pass through committee?
I believe it's through committee. I think we're asking for it to be called for a vote.
Okay.
I think it has a lot of buy-in. I don't think it adds significant new funds. I think it just moves funds from one place to another.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, you want our students to be successful. We want to focus on teacher recruitment and retention. I got a lot more ideas on those, but this is a very easy fix to continue modifying and supporting healthy schools in terms of indoor air quality.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens next. Jocelyn Delancey, CEA Vice President, thank you so much for giving us the latest. And again, we'll see what happens next with House Bill 6922.